In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please be seated. You know, I've never really liked this gospel lesson whenever I've read it, and it's particularly a bit more bitter for me this time around than it was 3 years ago, because, of course, now I am a divorced person. It's a bit of a complicated thing. I can see my own failings when I look back, and I can see many other factors that led to where it ended. It was not my choice to end my marriage, and I would prefer not to remain single the rest of my life. Many of you here are divorced people as well. Many of you who are divorced are remarried, and you have found grace in marriage after divorce. I think even if any of you have not experienced divorce, you've observed grace and redemption in others' experience. And this is one of those places where it feels like life might be in conflict with the gospel. Because our experience of life makes it feel like this gospel lesson is problematic. And Jesus tells us in this gospel, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. What does it mean when we talk about marriage? Well, from a theological standpoint, marriage is a sacred institution. It is sacramental in nature. In Mark's gospel, Jesus never really addresses why marriages fail, other than to say, hardness of heart. This line is found in all of the synoptic gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Matthew, there seems to be at least a little bit of a loophole you can get out, or a reason why marriages can fail when he talks about adultery. He says, well, in that case, except for that case. But it's the only loophole on divorce anywhere in any gospel. While I can recognize both a theological and sociological problem with the fact that this is probably not the major reason for divorce, of course, most of them are sort of in that vague category of irreconcilable differences. The reality is the biggest factor that ends marriage is money. And I find that problematic for a lot of reasons, and I can say that, but I can also find problematic that in gospel teaching around marriage, there's no loophole, say, around things like abuse or addiction. These are things that toxic situations from which people should at some times need to escape. What about somebody who's being beaten? And of course, this teaching nearly cuts off the possibility of grace in new relationships, or makes us wonder, where is redemption? Where can we leave the past behind us? Now, there are some theological issues in this teaching I want to talk about. First of all, Jesus compares remarriage to adultery. And if we were to take this as a hard-line stance, as many Christians do, we're going to run into just a little bit of a problem, because a hard-line reading does not line up with Jesus' other teachings on that particular sin. In fact, when Jesus talks about adultery, what does he do? He says, if you have a lustful feeling, you've committed adultery in your heart. He tells the Pharisees, what does he tell them when they want to stone the adulterer? You remember that line? He who is without sin, cast the first stone. And do you guys remember that Samaritan woman? Speaking of getting remarried, do you remember that Samaritan woman Jesus met at the well, who'd been married not once, not twice, not three times, not even four times, but five times, and now she's shacking up with some guy she's not even married to. You remember that woman? What happens to her? She becomes the first apostle to the Gentiles. And I say this not because church tradition has recognized her as such, but because it's the reality. Because the first thing she does is she goes back to her people, the Samaritans, and she tells them the good news. So, it's not to say that Jesus is soft on sin, But it is to say that it is forgivable. Now, the second theological issue is with the law. Now, this is a very interesting point because as Christians, we often like to think, well, we'll just throw out the Old Testament. It doesn't all matter. But there is a theological issue here that Jesus is addressing about the law itself. Remember, the Pharisees come up to Jesus and they're trying to test him about the law. And so this is part of what's under this teaching here. Luke's version of this teaching, which is, of course, a different version of it, but Luke's version is prefaced by saying, not one jot or stroke will be eliminated from the law. And then he gives this teaching. And so here Jesus is saying, humans fail. In fact, we humans fail a lot. Now, there's an ideal to which we should strive, and he talks about that ideal, but he recognizes, but we have hardness of heart, and we fail. And what Jesus is getting at here is the law exists not to restrain us, but to help us navigate with our failings. And it's not even just marriages that fail because of hardness of heart, but it's all kinds of failings, those things that we do every day. And so from an early day of faith, all the way back to Moses, God gave us a way to cope with our failings. Now, thirdly, the underlying teaching in this is the importance of relationships to humanity. Relationships are so core to who we are. We are social creatures. You know, going back millions of years, our ancestors were social creatures. You look at some of our closest primate relatives, they're social creatures. It's just part of our DNA. Our lives exist around relationships. Now look back the last 50 years or so. Look at the biggest technological advances that affect our lives on a day-to-day basis. If you went back, say, 70 years to 1950 and you looked at science fiction, we assumed in the mid-20th century that by now, what would we have? We'd have flying cars. We'd have lightning-fast trains, and of course, we'd all be taking trips to the moon. But what we got was none of that, which I'm still sad about flying cars, but that's aside. What we got was none of that. But what we have, instead, are little devices in our pockets. And what do? They help us communicate. In fact, communicate in ways we never would have imagined. We just couldn't even fathom the idea of texting or social media or the internet or the information that we get, or just simply being able to pull something out of our pocket and walk around town without being tethered to the wall. And so relationships are so buried in our human nature that when we advance out of striving for deeper connection. And after all, it makes sense from a Christian theological perspective. We are created in God's image. Remember that in Genesis? God created humankind in God's image, male and female. God created humankind. And God, in a Christian perspective, is three persons in this constant interweaving relationship. It's all about relationships. We are created in that image. When Jesus quotes in today's gospel from Genesis chapter 2, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two become one flesh. He's not just talking about marriage here. He's talking about, think about this, the very first ever human relationship. The teaching is closed then in telling us to care for children, the vulnerable. And that's another important point about this. The vulnerable are dependent upon relationships. Now, in Jesus' time, if you were a woman, you had to depend on a man for your livelihood. There was no social safety net. You had to depend on your father, your husband, maybe your brother or your son, but if you didn't have any of those guys to keep you, you had no options. And so widows and divorced were vulnerable, and children are vulnerable. And so Jesus says, let the vulnerable, let the children come to me. Don't hinder them. Now, the point is, we have to have integrity in our relationships, no matter what kind of relationships they are. We have to always strive for forgiveness, for patience and kindness. Those are the ideals for which we must strive. And caring for the vulnerable needs to be our first priority because it is God's first priority. This reading from we heard from Hebrews today says, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? Yes, God cares deeply for us. And when we fail at these things, because we do fail, when we fail at these things, God still catches us and forgives us. And we must recognize that we are all broken on a level and called to that same forgiveness. Because even in our brokenness, we can still, like the Samaritan woman, be instruments of grace. Amen.